Good morning. Continue this morning in our study of the Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 19, where we're discussing the law of God. Let me read paragraphs 3 and 4 and then discuss them with you and close in prayer. Paragraphs 3 and 4 of chapter 19. Besides this law, commonly called moral, God was pleased to give to the people of Israel, as a church under age, ceremonial laws containing several typical ordinances, partly of worship, prefiguring Christ, his graces, actions, sufferings, and benefits, and partly of diverse instructions of moral duties, all which ceremonial laws are now abrogated under the New Testament. To them also, as a body politic or a political body, he gave sundry or various laws, which expired together with the state of that people, not obliging any other now, further than the general equity thereof may require. Let me try and explain these two paragraphs. The Old Testament law of God is commonly divided into three categories: the moral law, the ceremonial law, and the sort of judicial or political laws of Israel. Paragraphs 3 and 4 discuss these forms of law and explain how each relates to a Christian today. Besides the moral law, which was outlined last time and which we'll return to next time, God gave ceremonial laws. We see these concentrated in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then summarized and repeated in Deuteronomy. As Paul explains in Galatians 4, these laws were given to God's people because of God's people's spiritual childishness. They needed these things to serve as tutors or guardians or trustees to guide them along the way to maturity. Well, God knew that his people were not ready to learn without these laws. They needed these daily reminders and pictures of who he was. Of course, God always speaks to even the wisest Christian as a father speaks to his little ones, doesn't he? But here we're reminded that what God still does to some extent with all of his children, he did to a radical extent for all his children before the time of Christ. He spoke to them through a variety of ordinances that were divinely designed to teach them something about himself, something about the Messiah, and something about his covenant. Well, all of these ordinances, by which I mean religious ceremonies and rituals, were symbolic, or as the confession says here, were typical. But although all were symbolic or typical, these symbols or types were of two different kinds. Some of these ceremonies had to do with worship. By their use in worship, they pointed to Christ or his wonderful graces, his actions, the things that he would do. The sacrifices, for example, picture Christ's sufferings, and then different cleansing rituals might picture the washing away of sins. Well, we see a number of those rituals explained for us in the New Testament as they reflect back on the old, such as Hebrews chapter 9. And it's there that we learn that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's no forgiveness. But it's not, we're told, the blood of bulls and of goats which takes away sin. No, it's the blood of Christ. And as the opening verse of Hebrews chapter 10 explains, the law is really only a shadow of the good things that were coming, not the realities themselves. For, the author says, for this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices, repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near in worship. So they taught something, but they had limitations. Well, other Old Testament ceremonies had to do with moral duties. These rituals or observances might portray the damaging effects of sin that we should seek to avoid. And so during the Passover, for example, the Israelites were to avoid yeast or leaven in the bread that they were making. Paul explains that this would remind them of how leaven spreads through a loaf of bread, in the same way that sin spreads and swells through a whole person, or from person to person. Ceremonies about unclean things and foods would teach God's people that they were not to live in the same way as the rest of the world. And Jude lets us see that even dirty clothes were to remind people about the filth of sin. Well, obviously, the Christian church can be deeply enriched by the Old Testament and its ceremonial laws of worship and morality. Indeed, New Testament authors, you may have noticed, often echo the imagery and sometimes the very words of these laws to illustrate the gospel and to show believers how to think about sin. But while the historical record of these laws are useful today for a variety of purposes, we must be clear that these ceremonial laws themselves are now abrogated under the New Testament. They are not in force anymore. As the Apostle Paul once told the Christians in Colossae, God has canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And the following verses make it clear that Paul has the ceremonial law in view, because he speaks about different ceremonies from the Old Testament. It's even possible that the end of the ceremonial law is what Daniel predicted when he mentioned someone coming who would put an end to sacrifice and offering, a prophecy that found partial fulfillment before the time of Christ, but then found its permanent fulfillment at the destruction of Jerusalem. Well, in addition to these ceremonial laws, God gave another kind of law. He gave the people of Israel, as a political body, a set of various judicial laws. And those laws can be found in many places, but one of the most concentrated collections is in Exodus 21 and 22. Like the ceremonial laws, however, these laws are no longer in force for God's people today, nor for any of God's people since the time of Christ and the destruction of the ancient Jewish nation in the days of the apostles. Perhaps this end of the nation of Israel and their law was alluded to in Jacob's dying blessing to his children, even before the family became a nation. What we know for sure is that there is, of course, a law in force today. And the law that's in force today are the laws of men, as Peter urges so clearly. Whether it be a king or a governor, we are to submit ourselves to their ordinances for the Lord's sake. We are not to try and enforce submission to the Lord's Old Testament ordinances for their sakes. And once again, we need to remember that Jesus Christ, of course, came to fulfill the law. He didn't destroy it, as he says himself. But he came to that old body of legal and civil instructions, and he showed the spirit of the law that had somehow become buried and lost over time. And that's why he would repeat again and again what others had heard about the law. And then, as the new lawgiver, the one greater than Moses, he would turn to the crowds and announce with authority, "But I say to you," and he would show them what they ought to believe and to do. And so these laws only remain to teach us general principles of equity and fairness. To choose an example of the Apostle Paul, if it is written in the law of Moses, "Do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain. Don't starve this animal as he's working." Well, perhaps, he says, we can be able to learn that we should not be starving preachers if they are working hard for the good of Christ's church. Well, there's so much from these ceremonial and judicial laws that we can learn. But to continue the judicial laws would be to forget that the church is the new Israel, and not some political nation on earth. And to continue the ceremonial laws would be to forget that Jesus Christ is our high priest and our only sacrifice. And that would leave us with no gospel at all. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for teaching your people of old how to worship and how to live. Help us not only to love your moral law today, but to learn from the ceremonies and the judicial laws of the past. Help us to learn about our sin, principles of fairness. Help us to have an enriched and deepened sense of the gospel as we look at the Old Testament. Help us by your Spirit, so that we would live for you more faithfully and more thankfully. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.